The following segment is general in nature and should not be taken as personal professional advice. Listeners should seek their own independent assessment from a qualified advisor and not rely solely on the general nature of information in this program.
And at this time on Mondays, it is good to be able to welcome Roger Montgomery to our studio. How are you, Roger?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Very well indeed. We're going to talk about something very different than when you mentioned it today.
So we're not going to talk about pedestrian crossings?
We can if you like.
I'll tell you what, I think all of your listeners should head to Balmain on a Saturday, Balmain in Sydney, and just see the utter disrespect for the danger of cars that pedestrians have in Balmain.
We touched on that earlier too.
They just cross wherever they like. I had a friend of mine, Peter, who was driving through Sydney. He's from Canberra. And he leaned out the window one day and he said to a person crossing the road in front of his car, and they just dawdled across. You know, it didn't matter that they just walked across and they didn't look. And he just said, car hurt. just to remind them. And it's amazing because you wonder whether or not they realise, yes, it may be the driver's fault if they're hit, but they're going to spend the rest of their lives in a wheelchair or worse. Yeah. You know, and they just don't seem to care. Is it arrogance or ignorance? But either way, it's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about
it. Anyway, there you go. But Balmain, it's the hot spot for anyone wanting to study stupid pedestrians. They all live in Balmain.
You and, John? Who said the thought through? Idiots get run over. There are no more idiots.
Well, that's true. That's sort of a self-refining process.
We're not going to talk any more about pedestrian crossing.
No, that's it. We'll leave that. Exactly.
Because when we touched on the topic today, it was a term I had not heard of. Roll-ups.
Now, they're also
roll-ups in the sense of a financial company.
Well, many people will think I'm talking about a snack that you put in kids' lunchboxes, but we're not talking about those. What we're doing is we're talking about a system or a process where a company buys lots of smaller companies in the same sector or the same industry, and it rolls them up, believing that they will be able to save costs because there's obviously a lot of replication in these small businesses, and they'll be able to increase revenue because they'll build a national brand, for example. So if you think, for example, let's take vets. You know, if I said to you, take your dog down to the vet, you know, there's no national brand for a vet. If I said to you, go down to the dentist, there's no national brand for dentists. And if I said take your kids to a childcare centre, there's really no national brand for childcare centres.
Not anymore.
There has been. And everyone can remember my comments on ABC Learning Centres here, I think, in this very studio, a couple of years before they collapsed, warning everyone not to invest. But there's businesses out there that try to roll up or consolidate businesses in the same sector in an effort to create a Coles or a Woolworths or a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi, you know, a national brand, a big brand for their particular industry. And dentists and vets, for example, and childcare centres are ripe for this opportunity because they're in high demand, they're relatively stable, people are always going to them and using them. And so you've got this stable industry structure in terms of demand, but you don't have a national brand. And so rolling up seems like a really good idea.
We have seen that with healthcare.
Yes, we have. We've seen it. We've actually seen it with a number of different industries. We've seen it in financial services. We've seen it in financial planning, for example, and healthcare is another good one. We've seen it in recruitment, in the recruitment industry. You know, they buy small mum and dad recruitment firms and try and create a big national brand. So there has been other industries where it's happened. It's not always successful. Another one that comes to mind just as I was speaking then was advertising, the advertising industry. You know, and public relations, you've seen it there as well. The advantages are that you can buy small businesses, local businesses, at very cheap multiples of their earnings. Typically, you could buy them at 3 times their earnings or 4 times their earnings. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that if a business is earning $500,000, I buy them at 4 times that, which is $2 million, and I'm going to be paid back for my investment within 4 years, which is which is a relatively short amount of time. You know, if you have a child today, they're going to be four in no time at all. So 4 years is a very short period of time to get paid back. And if I can cut some costs, because all these small mum and dad businesses, all these small suburban businesses, they're all using accountants and they're all using bookkeepers and they're all, you know, and so we can reduce that and we can consolidate that. That'll reduce the costs and it'll increase my earnings and I might be paid back in an even shorter period of time. So that's one advantage for doing it. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we might just be able to increase the revenue of these businesses because we've got share of mind, where at the moment, we don't really have share of mind if we've got just local, small, individually operated businesses. But if we can create a national brand, we get share of mind. People will start to say, you know what, they're really good. They've got a great reputation. I've heard of them and I'll go there. And that might just increase the revenue. And so what we're trying to do is improve the revenue line and buy these businesses at a relatively cheap price. Now, here's the thing. If we can improve revenue and cut costs, and buy them on a really cheap earnings multiple, let's say 3 or 4 times, then it might just be the case that in the stock market, investors like our shares and the shares go up in terms of the multiple of earnings. So we're buying these small businesses for 3 and 4 times earnings, but our shares might be trading on 10 times the earnings. Now, what that means is we can use our shares to buy these businesses and the owners and our earnings get an uplift. So we get, so the vendors of the businesses are happy to do the deal with us because they vend in to our business at 3 or 4 times, but they're receiving, if they receive cash, but if they receive shares, okay, and the shares keep going up in terms of what people are willing to pay, then they get the benefit of that upside as well. So they get two bites of the cherry. So that's the pitch that's often given to vendors of small businesses in these roll-ups.
Now, let me raise a couple of questions here. The businesses you're talking about are necessarily listed businesses because aren't there restrictions, for example, by the ACCC on a listed company being taken over or rolled up?
Well, look, yes, there are some national, the ACCC will look at the, if there's a detriment to the consumer, for example, higher prices or less competition. But the industries that I've been referring to being childcare,
partnerships or something similar.
Yeah, they're really fragmented. Mm. So really, you know, there might actually be a consumer benefit. And it could be that the product or the service is actually delivered at a lower price to the consumer by consolidating to a certain degree. You don't want to get to a point where there is a monopoly, but we're a long way from that in industries.
Well, let me ask an investor is looking at putting some money somewhere or other and sees a company which is engaging in roll-up.
Yes.
How does the investor assess whether the roll-up is a good roll-up and therefore a good investment?
Well, it always comes back to, it always, and remember these businesses, by the way, it's a great question, John. These businesses, and as an aside, don't get trapped or sucked into the idea that because they're growing their earnings every year, it's a good thing. Okay, because you can give me, I can have a bank account. Let's say I've got a bank account with $10 million in that bank account. And I'm earning interest. So I'm earning interest at 5%. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to earn $500,000 a year in interest. If you give me another $1 million and I put it in that bank account, well, next year I'm going to earn $50,000 more just on the extra $1 million that you've given me. And I've reinvested. I've got another $500,000 invested as well. So I'm going to earn another $25,000 on that. So I'm going to earn another $75,000 of interest more than I was earning last year because I'm going to reinvest the interest that I earned last year and you've given me another $1 million. So I'm earning $50,000 on that. So I can report record earnings every year just because you've given me more money.
But yet the rate stays the same.
But the rate is exactly the same. So I've really done nothing remarkable. In fact, I can do that with a rocking chair, you know, and some cashews.
And a good book.
You know, and a good book. Exactly. And that's my only investment. So you don't want to be, trapped into the record earnings trap. It's important that you look at the return that the company is making on the acquisitions that it's making and how they're funding that.
So it's got to be a multiplier.
Yes. Yeah, so if it's paying 4 times, then if it's paying four times the earnings of the business, then presuming that there's no improvement to the earnings of the company and they don't use any debt, then the return on equity will be 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good return. If you can get 25% on your money, you would put money in any bank account that gave you 25%. But of course, there's risks associated with doing this. And so you need that high rate to compensate you for the risks. So it's really important that it's a really high rate. Now, the other thing to watch out for is how are they funding it?
I was absolutely going to ask you, because you just mentioned debt. Now, if they go in to buy a company B,
yes,
company A being the big one, but they're looking at company B, funding it could be the major problem, though, couldn't it? Which suddenly takes away all the advantages which you've just spoken about.
Yeah, exactly. So
if they're borrowing. Yeah.
Exactly. So if a company is issuing shares all the time and its shares are really, really low, then it has to issue a lot of shares in order to make the acquisition. So even though the acquisition might look cheap, they may be issuing really dilutive shares. So by issuing a lot, you now own less of the business. If you bought the head company, you would own less of that because they're diluting you down by issuing shares to make the acquisition. So it's really important that they're not doing that. But of course, if their shares are really expensive, you'd prefer that they issue shares because they don't have to issue too many to make the acquisition. So that's on the equity side.
Do some of these companies who are rolling up others keep the rolled up company as an entity?
No, often it'll be absorbed.
Okay.
It won't be a subsidiary of the head company. Mm. It'll be absorbed into the business, and then its accounts will be consolidated with the accounts of the company that's listed that you own shares in.
Well, let me ask you about one, because I've recently had a company that I was using as an internet provider, which had been rolled up. And
yes.
I feel quite happy to say this one because it is no longer existing. It was wireless, unwired.
Oh, yes. Unwired.
And they were a listed
company.
Was it
M2 Telecommunications that bought them?
No, it was, Optus.
Optus, okay.
So I was using this service, which I was mixed about.
Yes.
And then they sent notice. I was about to get rid of it anyway and go to somewhere else.
Mm.
But then they sent me the notice it was being wound up because this was going to happen and Optus were going to take over. And I thought that was interesting because he's a listed company. But suddenly Optus took it away.
Mm.
And I had no contact about whether I wanted to become a customer or I was told the whole thing
was lining
up.
Well, that's just a bad consolidation, isn't it?
Because that's what I wonder about. What are they doing? Are they eliminating competition?
Well, look, you've got to be careful what you say. But in some cases, it might be that buying a competitor and assuming all of those clients,
which they didn't do.
Well, then why would you do it? You know, I don't kind of understand. It just sounds like it was badly executed. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look into it to actually answer that properly. But generally, you would, if you wanted to add value to the acquisition that you made, you would want to retain all of those customers. Mm-hmm. I can't understand what it's difficult without looking at it, understanding why you would not want to keep the customers and just bring in, unless the technology that they had. So, for example, recently Yahoo made an acquisition of a company called Sumly. I think it was called Sumly, and it was a 17-year-old kid, and he developed some technology that speed read news and consolidated into 400 characters. And so what they bought Sumly from this 17-year-old kid, I think they paid £30 million for the business, and then they just got rid of the business. And what they've done is they've taken the technology and they want to leverage the technology across their platforms. Mm. So that might have happened. That could have been what happened.
You mentioned a couple of other companies. Let's address them. You mentioned 1300 Smiles and Green Cross.
For childcare centres, there's a company, and this, I'm not suggesting you go out and buy these companies, but you may want to have a look at them and analyse or study their roll up strategy and decide for yourself whether or not you think they're executing well.
Mm-hmm.
So the one in childcare centres is G8 Education, and G8, the letter G and the number 8. G8 is in the business of basically it's the phoenix that's risen from ABC Learning Centres.
Ah, right.
So it's taking some of those centres, but it's not taking on debt to make those acquisitions. Mm-hmm. Another one is Green Cross. Green Cross is in the veterinarian sector. Now, up until very recently, you had to have a vet's license. You had to be a vet to own a veterinarian practice or a veterinary practice. And that's changed recently. And Green Cross is the business that's taking advantage of the change in that legislation and consolidating them. And the last one on the list is 1-300-SMILES, which sounds like a really interesting brand, doesn't it? But 1-300-SMILES is a dental practice, and what it's doing, it's providing the infrastructure for sole operators to operate dentistry clinics. So instead of you having to buy the equipment or lease the equipment, take on all the risk, what they're saying is that we'll provide the infrastructure, we'll give you all the accounting services, we'll do all the marketing, we'll do everything. You come in and we'll split it with you 60-40. 60 to the company, 1-300-SMILES, and 40% to the practitioner.
So and all that they have to do is worry about
All they have to worry is making sure that, you know, they don't miss the, they get the wrong tooth. Mm. And by the way, dentistry seems to be a very inexact science. You need to get two or three opinions before you seem to get the right result. But that aside, they're the three businesses that are small. Some people may not have heard of them before, and they're rolling up these particular sectors to try and create a national brand.
We should have a look at that in a bit further. Maybe we can do that again next Monday.
Okay, let's do that.
We'll see you then. Look at some of the details of those and why, using them as examples.
Well, let's value them. Why don't we go down, drill down a little bit deeper? We'll value them, work out what they're worth and what earnings they need to make to justify the current price.
And what would be interesting is looking at the debts that they've acquired to roll up or to roll in these practices as well.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, we've done that. Now, just to finish off, and we'll give some circularity to it as well, because you started with the details of pedestrian crossings.
Oh, yes.
I can now report that John in Rosewood says we've got cows on the road at Tumbarumba and Wagga Road.
Tell you what, the cows behave better than some people in Balmain, let me assure you.
The cows are on the road at Tumbarumba, Wagga Wagga Road, 3 kilometres west of Rosewood. Thanks very much for sending that through, John. Much appreciated on the details on that. And
if you honk your horn, John, at a cow, the cow gets off the road. But sometimes in Balmain, they don't get off the road.
There were three lines that just occurred to me, and I'm not touching any of them.
No, that's fair enough.